Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me here today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, have a live link at thetrumpet.com, and of course all of our programming here on KPCG can be found in podcast form at thetrumpet.com, kpcg.fm, iTunes, any place you like to get your podcast, you can find us there. If you think about actions, what people do, it all begins in the mind. It begins with a thought process. It begins with thinking, making a decision to do something. And so if a person wants to make a change in life, they have to really begin with their thinking and their attitude. They have to think differently. And that really gets to the heart of what God is trying to do with mankind, those that He calls today, and eventually all of mankind. Everyone will have a chance to be called in their season. And God has to work with people and get them to change their mind, their thinking, their attitudes. When God calls a person, if they accept God's calling, they begin to live a different way. They begin to think differently. Notice this from the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence course. This is a free course at thetrumpet.com, and please sign up for that if you don't have it already. It says, once we repent, completely surrender to God, and are baptized, God puts His Spirit in us, in our minds. It then begins to influence our ways of thinking and living. But the Holy Spirit does not take away our free moral agency. It won't force us to do anything. It only leads us in the direction of God's truth and gives us the spiritual strength to do His will. God has to have people that are willing to cooperate with Him. Once He begins to open their minds and call them, they have to cooperate with Him, because God doesn't force anyone to obey Him, but He certainly commands us to choose. We have to make a choice which direction we're going to go. Repentance is giving up of our own ways and living in unconditional surrender to God. Very few people have come to that type of repentance or understand it, because again, God's only calling a few today. But repentance is a very deep subject. It means changing thinking, attitudes, and of course, actions. Now, practically speaking, we have to live by every word of God. That's the name of this program. That's what we're talking about when we talk about submitting to God and obeying Him, living by every word of God. And of course, those words are found in the Holy Bible. How many people really make an effort to do that? It's very few. And again, God has to open up people's minds to the understanding of the Bible in the first place and what His words mean. But again, God doesn't force anyone to live by His word. A repentant attitude will voluntarily surrender to live by God's word. A repentant attitude. You know, it takes time to grow and to develop character. People aren't perfect all at once, but there's an attitude that's necessary. And a repentant attitude will voluntarily surrender to live by God's word. Notice this passage here. We have a few passages today. We're going to start in Matthew 10. So if you have a Bible, please get that out, and we can look at these scriptures together. Matthew 10 and verse 39, it says, this is Christ talking, "He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." So that could sound like a paradox. What does Christ mean here? Well, Christ is talking about repentance. He's talking about changing thinking and attitudes and actions. The Correspondence Course says, Jesus is talking about giving one's life in total obedience and service to God. Repentance emphatically does not mean we must give up the use of or appreciation of the worth of material things. What God is interested in is the attitude we have toward material things. and whether we seek first as our highest priority his kingdom and his righteousness. You know, there are some people that are confused on this this point here that Christ is talking about, and you know, they might go to an extreme and live as a recluse, I guess, and eschew any type of material possessions and just have the bare minimum. But God's not talking about that. Christ isn't talking about that here. Christ is just saying it's a priority. You know, where do we put, what do we put first? Do we seek the kingdom of God first? Is that what we're looking towards? And are we seeking his righteousness first? Are we seeking to live by every word of God? Or is it more about the material pursuits? And again, it's an attitude that Christ is discussing here. In saying we need to give up our lives, Christ is saying we need to give up the things that hurt us and are bad for us. If we aren't living by God's word, then our actions and attitudes produce negative fruits. See, people naturally or carnally, influenced by Satan, think that there's a certain way to go, that it seems to make sense. And that's a materialistic approach, to get as much material goods as possible in most cases. But Christ is saying, look, there's a different way to go here. That way ends in death, it ends in ruin. It is inherently a selfish way of life. And so we have to forget about that life and those pursuits and that pursuit of vanity and seek to, again, live by every word of God, seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. It's an attitude of repentance and a change in thinking, and it leads to a change in actions and outlook. The Course says that repentance and conversion make possible our intelligent use of God's material creation through the guidance of his Spirit and his law. So again, it's great to have, you know, some nice material things. That's wonderful. In fact, God says in his word that he wants above all things for people to prosper and be in health as they prosper spiritually. So, and you can look at many examples in the Bible of people that obeyed God and did very well, you know, and they had quite a bit of material possessions. Abraham would be one that comes to mind, King David. You can think of others. So there's nothing wrong with that, but it's a matter of putting God first and having, again, this repentant attitude where we are seeking God's truth. We are seeking his righteousness and his kingdom. And then God says, well, look, I'll add those other things. But a repentant attitude is concerned with seeking the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. It's a different way of thinking. See, it's different than the way most people think. Really, surrendering to God takes a major change in attitude and in action. Notice this quote. This is from the autobiography of Herbert W. Armstrong. And again, that's free at thetrumpet.com as well. It says, whoever you are, you have or you have had an idol. You have had another God before the true living Almighty God. It might be your own vanity or your business or profession. Very often, it is the opinion of your friends, your family, your group, or social or business contacts. How true that is. We certainly do value people's opinions very often. And if we're not using God's Spirit and we're not having the mind of Christ in us, probably our main concern will be what other people think. But again, our focus has to be on obeying God's word and living by it. Mr. Armstrong continues, he says, but whatever it is, whatever that idol is, that idol must first be crushed, smashed. It must be literally torn out of your mind, even though it hurts more than having all your teeth pulled out and perhaps a jawbone too. Usually it seems like something more excruciating than the agony of death by the cruelest torture. See, that's what Christ was getting at. People have to lose their lives to save them. And again, we're not talking about physical death. We're talking about giving up the vanity, giving up the idol, whatever it might be. And that's hard to do. It's identity. You see that happen to, say, professional athletes where they're on top of their game and then they get older and they can't play anymore. And many times they have a very hard time adjusting, because their whole identity was to be this incredible athlete. But they got older. And so who are they now? see our identity and what we think about ourselves and how we imagine ourselves in our vanity. That's a major idol many times. I remember years ago there was a man that came and spoke to the high school that I was attending when I was a student there. And it was a fascinating discussion. And he came as a public speaker, and he had been in the Holocaust. He was a Jewish man. And so he would go on the speaking tours of these high schools and talk a little bit about his experience. So, of course, it was riveting to listen to him. And the thing that really stuck with me that he said that I found surprising, he said the hardest thing about going through those concentration camps was that people lost their identity. You know, I would have thought, well, it would be the, you know, hunger or the death. I mean, there's a lot of terrible, terrible things there. But he said it was losing the identity that was the hardest thing, because once they weren't known by their name and their families were dead, who were they? That's an interesting thing to think about. We do put so much value into our identity. And again, not that it's wrong to be, you know, have a name and family and all of that, of course. But if you think about just how much of an idol vanity is, you know, it's a hard thing to change and to really start putting God's word first, putting God first and worshiping God as the true God and not worshiping the self. That's the price. That's the price of putting God first. Nothing else, no one else can be put above God. And so that's a real change in thinking. It's a real change in mind. And it's hard. But that's what repentance is. Changing our thinking. Changing our attitudes. Really putting God first. There is a false repentance. There is a false repentance that we have to be aware of and be careful with. Notice this in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. Here's Christ again. He says, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'This people draws near unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" So they like to talk about Christ. But what did they teach? What did they do? Well, their own commandments, their own ideas, their own interpretation of what God's word says. They like to talk about God. They like to talk about Christ. But they really worship themselves. There's a lot of people in that situation. Christ says in Matthew 7:21 that not everyone that says unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So just talking about Christ, that's not going to do a lot. Notice this. He says, "But who is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven?" He says, "It's he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Doing God's will. That sounds easy enough. Of course, I want to do God's will. But that means always doing God's will. Putting God's will above our own will. Christ set us a perfect example. He was obedient unto death. And you know about the horrible beating and crucifixion he went through. He was obedient unto death. He obeyed his Father's will, even when it took his physical life. Of course, it was for a great purpose, and it was a great act of love, but it wasn't easy. But he did God's will. He did his Father's will. That's serious. Serious commitment. So again, Christ points to the fact that Christians must live by God's word, which expresses God's will. And you can think of something fundamental, like the fourth commandment. We've talked about that a fair bit, keeping the Sabbath day holy. Most professing Christians don't do that. Why? Well, because as Christ said in Matthew 15, they follow the commandments of men, and they worship Christ in vain. So they'll go keep a different day, usually Sunday. Is that okay? It's not what God says to do. But they go and talk about Christ. Well, but we just read what Christ said in Matthew 15, verses 7 through 9. Yeah, a lot of people do. They say they talk about Christ. They draw near unto him with their mouth. They honor him with their lips. But their heart is far from me, Christ says, because they're worshiping themselves. Really, it's idolatry. Their own thoughts, their own ideas, their own opinions, more important than the Word of God in their minds. And that's a struggle that every person has to battle in. They have to battle in that, within that struggle, and win it with the help of God's Spirit, of course. But that's a deep, deep repentance, a change of thinking, a change of attitude, and a change of actions. It's very deep, and it takes a lot of effort, and it takes God's Spirit. A person who isn't striving to live by every word of God hasn't repented. As Christ pointed out, talking about Christ without following the word of God is a false repentance, because there isn't a change in attitude and direction to really put God first. There's a false repentance. We have to be careful of it. The correspondence course says, carnal man would rather do almost anything else than surrender to God. His natural mind, you can see in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, rebels at the thought of submitting to God's law. Some substitute their own laws and traditions in place of God's law. Others claim that God's law is null and void, deceiving themselves. Human nature wants to be right. Get this. Get this point. It's such a great point. Human nature wants to be right, but it doesn't necessarily want to do right. Doesn't want to do the right thing, but it wants to be considered righteous. It says people often say, well, here's the way I look at it, thus putting their concept of righteousness above the Bible. If it looks right to them, it becomes their law. This is self-righteousness. How often do you see that in, say, something like politics or people discussing politics? And they'll say, well, here's how I look at it. Here's what I think about it. Well, here's the way it seems to me. It's so easy to do that. Well, but what does God's word say about any given subject? Do we know? Do we care to find out? If we find out, are we going to live according to it? That's the challenge. Most people don't. Our attitude and our thinking has to change from what it naturally is, of course, as influenced by Satan. He's a god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. But there's a way that seems right to a man. The opinion, the thought, the idea that a man might have, but it ends in death, as God's word says. Of course, it seems right, but it ends in death. We can't be living by what seems right. We have to live by God's word. That's the challenge for anyone who wants to be a true Christian and have God's Spirit direct them. Another way that Satan has deceived millions of people about repentance and salvation is through this concept of penance. Have you heard of penance? I think you have. Penance means self-punishment inflicted for having done wrong. So if a person does something they know is wrong or they feel guilty about it, sometimes they think, well, I'll punish myself for it, and that'll make up for it. But it does not. The correspondence course says, your Bible clearly shows that no amount of human works can bring about the forgiveness of sin. Sin can only be forgiven by Christ's shed blood. And there's no other way to have our sins forgiven. Hebrews 10 and verse 12 says this, but this man, talking about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Christ's sacrifice is the only way that sins can be forgiven. And of course, forgiveness is granted to those who repent. Change attitude, thought, actions. You know, and the reason we're getting into this topic, I mean, it's a great topic to consider, and we really have to always be thinking about growing and changing and overcoming. But talking about changing our thinking and our attitudes, you know, how often have you wanted to change an action in your life and really work to do that? And it's hard to do. Well, if the thinking changes and the attitude changes first, then the actions follow suit. To really change actions, ultimately, thinking has to change. Attitudes have to change. The Correspondence Course says the only way Christ's sacrifice can be applied to blot out one's sins is by an individual accepting it, forsaking his or her past life of disobedience, and by beginning to obey God. That is true repentance. And so to forsake a past life of disobedience, that means changing thinking. Changing our thinking and our attitudes. Notice Isaiah 64 and verse 6. It says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Mankind trying to do their best without God's Spirit, all they can end up with is filthy rags. That's all that man can do, the best that man can do. It's because God isn't being put first and his will isn't being submitted to in a person's life if they're not being directed by God's Spirit. And so they can try to do their best as they see it, right? That, you know, we talked about that earlier. It's a lot of times people worship their opinion. If God isn't being put first and his will isn't being submitted to, then a person is doing what they think is right, and that is self-righteousness. And they might be very sincere in it, but it's still self-righteousness. And if that's the case, they are breaking the first commandment and more, because they are putting themselves and their opinions ahead of God and his word. And that's selfishness. It takes God's Spirit. It takes God's righteousness, and man doesn't have that in himself naturally. It takes God's Holy Spirit. Nothing in the human realm is going to produce the righteousness of God. Only God's Holy Spirit can do that. Real repentance means coming out of this world, this society, and living according to God's word. One cannot be caught up in this society and obey God. It's a change of attitude. It's a change of thinking. It's a change of actions. All of it empowered by God's Holy Spirit. And it really is a change. It's a deep change. Notice Revelation 18 and verse 4. One last passage here. It says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues." Can't be living like this world lives, you know, holding up our own thinking, our own thoughts, our own opinions as an idol, and think that things will work out. They won't. It will end in death. As it says here, we have to come out of this society. Don't be a partaker of the sins and the opinions and the thoughts that are all pushed constantly throughout the world, through all kinds of different mediums, internet, television, you know, so on and so forth. Thoughts, ideas, opinions, but they're not God's words. And we're told to come out of that and that way of living and that way of thinking. The Correspondence Course says, many people profess to be religious. They attend churches. They have a form of godliness, but they have the attitudes and practices that have made this world what it is today, this present evil world. You can read that in Galatians 1 and verse 4. See, the attitudes that lead to, of course, practices that are not from God. It says God requires a complete reversal in the direction we have been going. In other words, God wants us to quit following the ways that seem right according to human reasoning, to completely turn around and begin following the way of God as revealed in the Bible. That's a very deep change. It's not just changing an action or two or maybe improving a habit or something. Those things will happen, but the root of it, the foundation of it, is changing the thought process. And God has to do that through the power of his Spirit, and we have to cooperate with him and stop looking to our own opinion on things and our own thought on things and really looking to God and his word. It's so hard to give up what we think is right and wholeheartedly do what God's word says is right. It's a big challenge. It's a big challenge, and it's a process. So this is the starting point. The Course says, this is the starting point on the way to salvation. God commands us to come out of this world and forsake its wrong ways, no longer conforming to its ways that are contrary to God's way. We are to become more and more like Christ by allowing the Holy Spirit to renew our minds. We need the Spirit of God to renew our minds daily through prayer, through Bible study. We have to be drawing closer to God daily and really following God. No other gods before the one true God, right? No idols. You know the commandments. And those are easy to memorize in most cases, but to really think about the practical application, forsaking our own opinions, our own thoughts, our own desires, and really putting God first and obeying his law. Now, that's a change of thinking and a change of attitude, and it results in different actions. And those actions and those attitudes and those thoughts, again, they lead to all the blessings that mankind wants. And ultimately, God will give a person that's growing and developing a place in his kingdom. The parable of the pounds talks about that. It's a gift if your mind's being opened up to God's truth and if you have God's Holy Spirit. And we have to use that Spirit to really look at God's word, live by it, and really worship God. Change our thinking away from the way the world thinks. And not value our own thinking, our own thoughts, our own opinions, or the opinions of others. But look at God's word first and foremost and put the ultimate value on that. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Please sign up for the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. It's free and it's at thetrumpet.com. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.